Jeremiah 33, we're just looking at the first three verses. Just going to look at the subject of coming to an understanding of prayer from what we look at here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 33, verse 1, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not." It is with that third verse, really, I want to have a look at this evening. Our prayer as Christians is one of immense possibilities when we consider the help that it brings to us, help that it brings to our lives that are often in flux. In other words, that we're traveling from one crisis to another. And what we've read tonight is a glorious promise that was given to the nation of Israel. And yet it so much applies to us as a church body today and individuals as well who put Jesus Christ as the head of everything in our lives. And what was promised to Israel, we can be assured that the whole thought process goes along with the church. We're different from Israel, but we still worship the same God as the children of Israel did in those days, and that he is a God who never changes. And as we see so much of it applying to us with Christ as the head, and we must take note even this evening, if Christ isn't the head of our lives, then we remain fruitless. Blessings are things that we would miss frequently. And that is a key point for us as believers. We always must put Christ first in all things. If Christ comes with us as he came with the two on the road to Emmaus, we have a good traveling companion in this world. God in his blessing here to Israel confirms the coming destruction of Jerusalem and the future restoration of it. God's past, present and future promises are always in view in his word. And as I was considering this short word, I was drawn to what is to come in the future for us as the church body, the bride of Christ. Look on down the chapter into verse 11, please. And you see just some wonderful words in verse 11. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, and the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. There's a great picture here that we have of the millennial kingdom, and we see all of Christ's joy will culminate in this millennial kingdom that will have Israel as its source and will have us as ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ in praise and in the joy of gladness. Yet we are not there yet, and so there must be a clinging to that blessed hope that we have in Christ, which sustains us through this time of this world's uncertainty. Not our uncertainty, because we have none. And that's something that we must consider even this evening. We have no uncertainty. As believers, as ones who have come in repentance and faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we come and we realize that, you know, we often say tomorrow's promised to no person, and we know what the thought of that is, but we know that tomorrow is promised to those who believe and those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. So we don't have an uncertainty. And as we concentrate, I want you to look at verse 3 again. Call unto me, that's Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will deliver thee and show thee great, mighty things which thou knowest not. There's four sections to this verse that are seen for you and me tonight. First of all, there is that thought of call unto me. I would suggest to you that there's two sides to this call that God declares to you and me. There's, first of all, there's the divine. And again, it's necessary to go back to familiar scripture. If you turn to back a wee bit to Psalm 34, please. Psalm 34. We did a study on this not so long ago. A wonderful psalm. Psalm 34. And there's a psalm of David. And if we look at Psalm 34, verse 4, we see David pleading in prayer and giving testimony of where he was with the Lord. He said in verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Go to verse 15. Verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. If that wasn't the case, we wouldn't be bothered coming here tonight. We would be watching the football, maybe. We know that the Lord is here, and he's over us. He's listening to it, and he knows those things that we have desire to see answered to. Look at verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord are near unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. And what a joy it is to know that no matter what position that we're in this evening, and the angst perhaps that we have in many things, we know that he is with us. Look at verse 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. It is a great promise that we have. So there's divine, there's the divine thought here in this call unto me, and that's what we're doing tonight and every night this week. We're calling unto him. But then there's the human side. God makes it simple for his child to call upon him in prayer, not only in times of need, but in times of joy. And to call upon him is not complicated. The preacher and author F.W. Dixon suggests that prayer is calling upon the Lord. Simple prayer, in other words. And the creature calling upon the Creator, and the child petitioning its father. And that's it's as simple as that. It's simple conversation with God through the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to come with fancy words. We don't have to come with that doctrinally 100% prayer that we feel that we need to pray that in front of others. That's not the case. God knows our heart. He knows what we're trying to say, even though we may get mixed up at times. Romans 10 tells us in verse 12, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord is over all, and is rich unto them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You and I have done that. We are saved. We rejoice in the fact that we are, as we have called upon him, he has saved us. So anybody can call to the Lord in prayer, or to God in prayer, about anything, anywhere, and at any time. Yet one thing we must note, as always, I would suggest that God is only answerable to his will and purpose. And the things of the flesh are not viable for us to be bringing before him. Things like, I want to be rich. Everybody thinks that, as we see in the modern culture of Christianity, the Health and Wealth Brigade, who believe that you give money out to get stacks of money in. God's not about that. God is about his glory and not the glory of man. So when we call upon him, we're calling upon him for his glory. Secondly, in that verse, you'll see it says, and I will answer thee. What a promise that is. That when we call upon him in whatever way we do in prayer, And for whatever concerns we have or for whatever thankfulness we have, we know that he will answer us. And the surety of God answering prayer is something that is missed by so many Christians today. Perhaps we think that he's too busy to hear from us. You know, there can be an underlying thought about that. You know, these things are too trivial for God to be considering about me. Yet God wants to hear everything that concerns you as far as your walk with him is concerned. His will and purpose is something that is forever declared through his answer to our prayers. And the reminder for us is Habakkuk. And oh, I love Habakkuk. And I love the picture that we see. And it never leaves my thoughts when it comes to prayer. Habakkuk 2 verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproached. The first watch there, I will stand upon my watch, has the thought of a sentry always being on guard, like a soldier always being on guard, looking and watching for the enemy. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. That gives us that appearance. Then and will watch to see what he will say to me. That second watch means to observe and wait, to lean forward, in other words, to be in anticipation for the answer to God, to peer into the distance, if you like, in these things. And there's no doubt that God will answer prayer, but we have to be looking out for it. We have to be watching for that answer. And there's no doubt that God will answer prayer, but we have to be really right frame of mind to hear. Not only looking out for it, but accepting of it, for his way is the right way for us. So we see when we call, he'll answer. And then it says in the rest of the verse, and show great and mighty things. Nowhere is there things that we see that are greater than anything that God can do. God is the one that does great things. Remember John, as he declared the greatness of God in 1 John 4 and verse 4, he says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You and I as Christians tonight have the Holy Spirit indwelt within us, God in us. And God continues to show great and mighty things in our lives if we would only look for them and be ever thankful for them. What things? Well, there's the divine appointments for our loved ones. They're there. The sustaining power of the Holy Spirit is there. The joy of our salvation is there. The last thought is one that speaks volumes to us. The joy of our salvation, knowing that we're saved and we're saved for eternity. And lastly and quickly, that last part of that verse 3, he said, call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God will show us things that we never would think of naturally. And we are special, as in the spiritual. We can see things coming from God that are marvelous and wonderful in our diminished view. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. A glass darkly, we don't see it all completely perfect because of where we are in this world and the effects even sin has on us. Literally, that says, for now we see through a mirror in dimness. When we look into the mirror, some of you ladies like to look into a mirror, maybe like look into a mirror and they fancy themselves up a wee bit. But what it is, our Christian lives, is that we look into that mirror and it's dim. It's shadowy. And we don't see the high definition, really, that is to come. And there's things that we can never even imagine that God will do. And yet he does them for his glory in our lives if we are obedient to his will and purpose. May we pray tonight for those things that we don't know of, but are from God for our blessing. Amen.